Please be seated. This week's reading is in almost every possible way the center of Mark's gospel. It stands quite literally near the dead center of Mark's work. Moreover, it marks the major transition in the story from Jesus' ministry of opposing all that oppresses God's people by healing, feeding, casting out demons, to Jesus' journey on the cross. But perhaps most importantly, it vividly and succinctly summarizes the essence of the kingdom of God, and why it is so hard for us to accept it. As the story goes, Jesus and his disciples have been all over Galilee and now are on the outskirts of the Roman town of Caesarea Philippi when he asks them two important questions. Who do people say that I am? And more to the point, in light of all of this, who do you say that I am? They answer both. The first with comparisons to important biblical figures. The second with Peter's flash of insight that this is no mere miracle worker or prophet, but is indeed the anointed one, God's anointed one, the Messiah. And then comes the turning point. Jesus begins to explain what it means to be the Messiah. And no one, including Peter, can believe it. Why? Because the Jews, of course, including Jesus' Jewish disciples, were looking for a powerful leader, perhaps a military king like David. And so we're disappointed with Jesus's pronouncement. And let's face it, absent our 2020 hindsight, we might not have reacted any differently. Because more often than not, we also look for God to come in strength. And so often we miss God coming to meet us in our weakness. And so while we might not get the God we want, in Jesus, we get the God we need. We discover this God who does not overwhelm us, but meets us in our brokenness in order to heal and restore and redeem us. Today, I particularly want to focus on the words that follow the words that Jesus directs to his disciples and the larger crowd. They're familiar words about denying yourself, about taking up your cross, about saving and losing one's life. These words of Jesus are so familiar, in fact, that their power can get lost in their familiarity. Notice how concretely, how literally true these words turn out to be for Jesus, as he does, in fact, lose his life and find it, or really is given it back and more in the resurrection. I wonder, might this also be literally, concretely true for us? In what ways have we also experienced losing our life as the key to receiving it back? Have we at times noticed, for example, that when we give a gift to another, we recognize how much we receive in return? Interesting, recent studies indicate that the only way that money truly makes us happy is when we give it away. Or have you discovered on occasion that only by loving another do you feel yourself to be loved? Have you ever gone without so that someone else could have more and felt intensely richer as a result? Or that there's no better way to find a friend than first to be a friend? Unexpected rewards come through sacrifice. Each of these are perhaps small, but still compelling glimpses of the inverted logic of God's kingdom. I call it inverted logic because it is so dramatically different than the logic that runs the kingdom of this world. This logic, one that we're taught from a very early age, suggests that the only way to find security is through possession and power. This logic attempts to persuade us that only by having more can we be happy, and that only by satisfying all of our wants as if we could, can we be content. This logic operates on a notion of absolute scarcity and therefore pits us one against another in a winner-take-all competition for goods and meaning and love. And it's all around us because this logic of the world is behind almost all advertising campaigns, political campaigns, commercial decisions. And yet, against all of this, Jesus comes. Jesus comes urging us to give of ourselves, to put others first, and to take up burdens on behalf of another. No wonder he's not only disbelieved, but also rejected. He isn't just an unusual king, he's the anti-king, almost the exact opposite of the kings of this world. And no wonder his kingdom still has trouble attracting applicants. He says here that in order to enter, you need to be last, not first. Later, he'll lift up the most vulnerable, children, outcast, the diseased, as models of exemplary citizens. Who really wants to be a part of this club? Jesus is proclaiming an anti-kingdom against, again, so utterly opposite of what we imagine a kingdom should be. Why then do we come? Why then do we come to church, to Jesus, to this kingdom he proclaims? Because this logic that seems so opposite to all we have encountered this far invites us to discover our lives by receiving our identity as beloved children rather than trying to earn it through accomplishments. Say that one more time. Because this logic that seems so opposite to all we have encountered thus far invites you to discover your life by receiving your identity as a beloved child rather than trying to earn it through your accomplishments. Ah, grace is good. It invites us to find our purpose in serving others rather than in accumulating goods. It invites us to imagine that our life, our life, and the life of those around us has infinite worth, simply because God chose to love us, apart from anything we have done or not done. Why do we come? Because this kingdom is about life, not the pseudo-life we've been persuaded by advertisers or politicians is the best we can expect, but real, honest to God life. And this kingdom may be the one place where we can truly, really be ourselves, our true selves, and know that we are loved and accepted for who we truly are. All we have to do is trade what we have been led to believe is life for the real thing. It's incredibly hard because so much money and energy has gone into convincing us that the best we can expect is a quid pro quo world where you get what you deserve. But if we can let it go, even for a few moments, if we can let it go, we'll discover that God still loves to create out of nothing, raise the dead to life, and give to each and all of us so much more than we either deserve or could ever imagine. Thanks be to God.